Ramban has a hakdamah to Chumash Mos that in the old European Chumashim is printed at the end of Vayechi. In the new editions now, they put the hakdamah to Shmos in the beginning of Shmos, where it really belongs. So the Ramban writes that the Bereshis is the book of all the beginning of the creation of the world, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of the Jewish people. Then he says, Chumash Mos, the theme of Chumash Mos is about the first Golus Mitzrayim, and the Gula therefrom. But then he raises the question, the Gula doesn't happen until after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Yeshua ben Nun crosses over the Yarden, and the Jews go back into Eretz Yisrael. So how can he claim that the Shmos has the Gula from Mitzrayim? So he answers that the main tragedy of going into Golus Mitzrayim is there was a tragedy that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the main tragedy. The main tragedy was that they didn't have the Hashras HaShchina anymore. The Midrashim comment on the Psukim in Chumash Bereishis, Avraham Avinu had a Mara HaNavua, it says, Vayal Me'olav Elokim. So the Chazal say that the Ovis Hein Hein HaMerkova, that the Ovis had a Hashras HaShchina. So when the Jews went into Golus Mitzrayim, they were lacking the Hashras HaShchina. The Ramban paraphrases a pasuk in Sefer Iyov. He said they had Soda Laka Ale Ohalehem. In Iyov it says Soda Laka Ale Ohali. So the Ramban writes that the Ovis had Soda Laka Ale Ohalehem, they had Hashras HaShchina. When they went into Golus Mitzrayim, in Chutzlos, they didn't have that. So when Chumash Mos ends with Truma Tetzaveh by Yaakov Pikuda, the building of the Mishkan, then you have the Hashuas Hashchina. So that's no longer, that's the end of the Golus. They're still not in Eretz Yisrael, but that's officially, the Gula took place already. They're still in Chutz Lords, but the Gula took place. Gula means when you have Hashuas Hashchina. They quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish that he already lived in Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War. And when they established the Medina in 1948, so he said, this is the end of the Golus, but you still don't have a Geula. So the people thought that it was double talk. It was the end of the Golus, so you do have Geula, so he said. So he explained himself, no. Geula means when you have Hashuas HaShchina. That's what the Ramban says. They didn't have it in 1948. They still don't have Hashuas HaShchina. But it's the end of the Golus. So the British are not preventing the Jews from returning back to Eretz Yisrael. So we're not officially, there's no more Golus. We can go back to Eretz Yisrael. The Parsha has about different parts of the Beis HaMikdosh. You have the Chotzer and the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a Mishnah in the first Perek in Kelim that lists off Esek Kedusha Sein, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael B'Kodeshes Mikol HaRotzeis, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to the rest of the world. Shemivim imenu ha'omer eshtei alechem. The omer on Pesach, first eich al-moy Pesach, and eshtei alechem is brought on Shavuos after growing in Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, ha'yoros ha'mekof eschayim have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the other ha'yoros ha'mekof eschayim. Harabais has a higher level. Then with the Rabban, we break down the Harabais into different parts. Ben HaTorah, the whole Harabais has the same status. Ben the Rabban, you have three different parts to the Harabais. Then you have the Azara. Then the whole Azara doesn't really have the same status. The Tzofen is different. The right-hand side of the Azara is Tzofen. That's where you shecht. Kotchi kotchim shchitos matzofen viki bildomen vichli shoriz batzofen. Tzofen is more important than Dorim. The right side is more Kodesh than the left side. But the Mishnah doesn't mention that. But it mentions that the first 11 Amos in the Azara, the Yisraelim were permitted to go. After the first 11 Amos, they had a Chumrim in the Rabbanon that was called Ezus Kohanim. The first part was Ezus Yisrael, and the rest was Ezus Kohanim. They didn't allow. That's a Maila mid the Rabbanon, the Maila Sam of the Rabbanon. Then you have Bein Hu'ulam Balam Mizbeach, then you have the Ulam, then you have the Heichot, then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Mishnah lists off all the Esek Kedushas. It's very strange. When the Mishnah wants to demonstrate that it's some Kodeshes, Mikol HaRotzes, and the Mishnah quotes such an obscure dim, that the Omer that you bring, the Minchas HaOmer, from barley on the first day of Pesach, has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. the shtelach haman shavuos from wheat has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. It's an obscure din that nobody ever heard of. Why don't they write? Eretz Yisrael b'kodesh and b'kol ha'aretzes. Echai ben trumas ha'maisa shmita b'yehova lekin shikhopeya. Somebody in the midst of the South Louis bar is where they quote such an obscure din. And then there are two girsas in the Mishnah where it does say bikurim or doesn't say bikurim. It says Eretz Yisrael b'kodesh and b'kol ha'aretzes shemivim men ha'imer shtelachem. So some have the girsa with bikurim and the grow crosses it out. Because in the Sifrei Zuta on Bamidbar begins with Shuluch Tmei Men Amachne, and this Mishnah that's in Perek Aleph and Kelim Esek Dushas appears over there with slight discrepancies. So Menachem Zemba was a great goyim, in a Polish goyim. He was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was a great Meiridik goyim. So he had a friend who published. He was a businessman. Menachem Zemba was a businessman. And he had a friend there were a group of Polish Goyim who were in business. They knew all the Yerushalmis, all the Ragachavas, they knew everything. They knew Kala Torah Kulam. So he had a friend who was putting out the Sifrei Zuta with her Oris on the bottom of the page. The Oris are called Ambua de Sifrei. That's an expression that appears in the end of Masechet Sukkah, Ambua de Sifrei. So the friend asked him, he sent them the galleys from the whole Sefer, and he asked him, does he want to write any Ha'oris that he'll add on? So he wrote a Kuntris, a 100-page Kuntris, and the Esek Dushas, on the discrepancies between the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta and the way it appears in the Mishnah. So he has a comment on this, what's the issue, whether Bikurim says or not. So Rav Soloveitchik, I don't think, knew about this Kuntris by Rav Menachem Zemba, but he used to say the same pshat, exactly the same. Why does the Mishnah say Eretz Yisrael b'kodesh is b'kol ha'aretz shevivim imenu ha'imer shtei alechem? Why doesn't it say that you chayv on all the agricultural mitzvahs? Shmita v'yev alekit shikhapei trumas ha'maisu. So he said that they both explained that Eretz Yisrael has kedushas ha'aretz. That's a different story. And that's the mitzvahs ha'tuyas bar. It's only applying Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah means to say that there are 10 levels in kedushas ha'migdosh. The highest level of Kedusha HaMikdash is the Kodesh Kadosh and Bein Abadim, where the Oren is. Lower level is the Heichal. Lower level is the Ulam. The Ulam is the room right in front of the Heichal. And by Sheni, there was an Ulam that was wider than the Heichal. Then you have Bein Ulam and HaMizbech. These are all levels of Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. Then it says, all Ayoras HaMekafis Chayma have not a higher level of Kedusha HaOretz, have a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. That just like Mitzrayim, Amishtalchim, Chutz Lamachanes, or Mitzrayim are not allowed to enter into any of the Yoris Hamakov Eschaim and Moshe Shur Ben Nun. There's a Machlokes of Rishonim, whether the Mitzrayim who enters Yerushalayim is Loike. If the Mitzrayim enters any one of the other Yoris Hamakov Eschaim and Moshe Shur Ben Nun, that's a Machlokes of Rishonim. Lo Yovo El Toch Hamachane, it says Lo Yovo, the Mitzrayim Lo Yovo El Toch Hamachane, is alive. Do you say all Ayoras HaMakov Yisrael have a Shem Machne? Maybe the Shem Machne is only Yerushalayim, is Machne Yisrael. Machne Shechina, Machne Leviya, Machne Yisrael. So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. And then the Mishnah says all of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas HaMikdash, as it goes further away from the Beis HaMikdash, descends in Kedusha, lower level, till all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. How do you know that that's true? The Omer Shtei Alechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't let you plant any vegetables. They don't let you plant any grains. It has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. The Chazal have a comment on the Pasuk, the concluding Pasuk in Shiras Hazinu. V'chipe Admasoi Amoi. So the Pasuk Pshat V'chipe Admasoi Amoi is... The Shiras Hazino talks about, it's a prophecy and a nevuah about the Holocaust. So it says there'll be a terrible Holocaust, and there'll be a hest upon him. And people will be wondering, where was God when all of this was happening? That's exactly what people said during the Holocaust. Where was God when all of this was happening? And then it says, after this is over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the enemies of the Jewish people. V'chiper kidam avod yikam. God will avenge the blood of the Jewish people that they spilled. V'rakam yashiv l'tzara v'chiper ad masay amay. So the Pashup Shat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear, appease. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chiper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land. Eretz Yisrael was dead for almost 2,000 years, and after the Holocaust was over, 1948 was Hakamas Amedina, and everything flourished. V'chipa Admasai and V'chipa Amoi, God will appease his land and God will appease his nation. After the Holocaust, the Jewish people picked up, and the people who were mamish skeletons, there were bones and skin. They were half dead. These people came to America. They came to Eretz Yisrael. They became multimillionaires. They raised families. Mamish from the dead. There was a Tchias HaMeis, mamish from the dead. So that's the Pashup Shah. V'chiper ad masach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land and he will appease his nation. But the Gemara in the end of Ksubis has an additional level of interpretation. V'chiper ad masai amai, the Jewish people who are buried in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly more so if they come to Eretz Yisrael while they're alive. The Gemara says, Einu deima koltosa lachamisa lekoltosa mechaim. If a person moves to Eretz Yisrael only after he's dead, then he gets a kapar, he gets mechilas avinas. But if he comes to Eretz Yisrael while he's alive, he gets a bigger mechilas avinas. V'chipa ad masai amai, if a person's in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people, when they're in Eretz Yisrael, acquire a kapara, they get an atonement for their sins, provided they do tshuva. They don't do tshuva, you don't get any kapara for anything. You get a kapara when they give you Mises Bezdin, you have to do tshuva, the Mishnah says. You get a kapara when they give you Malkus, provided that you do tshuva. You get a kapara when you bring karbonis, provided that you do tshuva. So this also, the Pnei Yeshua says on this Gemara, those who live, kolam halach dal ramas beretz Yisrael, nimcholam abenoisu, it's only understood if you do tshuva. The Minchas Aluza, the Minkatcha, was the main anti-Zionist before the Second World War. In Hungary, he was the main anti-Zionist. He was so anti-Zionist. All the other Rabbanim in Hungary were afraid to argue with him because he would curse all of those who were Zionists. So he, as a tshuva, has a lot of tshuvas, and Chazalot, a lot of tshuvas. So he has a tshuva about moving territories. So he says, the secular Zionists think they move territories to get a mechilas avinas. That's ridiculous. You have to do tshuva. And he quotes the Pnei Yeshua on the Gemara. I think he writes, he's a descendant of the Pnei Yeshua. So he says, that's based on the Rambam, Perek Aleph and Nuchas Tshuva. You never get any mechilas avinas unless you do tshuva. So all of Eretz Yisrael, in a certain sense, has a din like a Beis HaMikdash. Wherever a Jew walks Dal HaRamas and Eretz Yisrael gets Mechilas Avinus. Why? The Beis HaMikdash is the makom for kapara, for bringing korbanos. The Gemara has an expression, kol hakova be'Eretz Yisrael, kova tachas hamizbeach. Wherever one is buried anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you get a Mechilas Avinus, as if you would be buried tachas hamizbeach. The Mizbeach is Mizbeach Kapar. The Mizbeach brings Kapar by bringing Karbonas. So that's what Rabbi Nachum Zemler writes in his Kuntris on the Esek. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. The Mishnah didn't say that Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh is Mekol HaRotzes that Yechai Ben Trumas HaMaisis Lekin Shik Chapeya and Shemitah V'Yoyvel. That's Mitzvah HaKliyas Barons. That's because it has Kedusha HaSa'aretz. That doesn't demonstrate, that doesn't prove that it has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. But this din proves it. That Shemivim Eno Haimer Shtei Lechem, why does it have to grow in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is it has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So that's where the two girsas are in the Mishnah, whether it should say Bikurim or not. What's the issue? So Rabbi Nachum Zemer, Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, there's a Tosfos in Bava Basra. Oh, we're learning Bava Basra. And more comments on the Pasuk Reshit. Goyah Moschel Tovi, Beis Hashem Elokecha, Reshit Bikuri Ad Moscho. So the Gemara learns that from the word Ad Moscho, that Bikurim, the mitzvah of Bikurim, doesn't apply in Chutz Lord. So Tosfos yes, the Kasha here. Pay Aleph on the base. There's a Tosfos Dima Mascha. Ahu Limutei Chutz Lord. The Pasuk says, Reshit Bikuri Ad Moscho, Admasra is to exclude chutzlort, that you're not chayv in bikurim chutzlort. So Tosfos says, what do you need a pasuk to exclude chutzlort? Bikurim is from the mitzvahs hatloyes baretz, and the Mishnah in the first parak, the end of the first parak in Kedushin, establishes based on other psukim that the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So bikurim is one of the mitzvahs hatloyes baretz. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is correct. It is a mitzvah hatloyes baretz. But I would have thought that it should apply even in chutzlores, because the pasuk writes it together with bas b'cholom. That's in Parshas Mishpatim. It's in one pasuk, so it's like a hekesh. So just like bas b'cholom is a chayus haguf, that's even a chutzlores. So one might have mistakenly thought the bikurim should also apply even a chutzlores, even though it should have been a mitzvah tliyba. So that's why I need a pasuk to say that you shouldn't darshan that hekesh. Then the other suggestion in Tosfos is, no, Bikurim is not a mitzvah tlei baretz. Trumas and Mises is a mitzvah tlei baretz. A mitzvah tlei baretz has to be that there's some isurim involved. Bikurim, there is no tevel. If you're not mafrish Bikurim, you're allowed to eat the peiros. It's not tevel. But if you're not mafrish Trumas and Mises, it's going to be tevel. In Shemitah, there are isurim. In Yovel, there are isurim. So Shemitah, the Yovel. And in Trumas and Mises, where there are isurim, Kedusha has to have, Kedusha means limitation. Kedusha, you have to have some Isurim. That's the Ramban has like that in Masech HaShabbos. The Mishnah says that the person never heard of Shabbos. Person grew up, he was not, never heard of the Din of Shabbos. And he's Machal HaShabbos all the time. So he only brings one Chatas. He violated many Malachas. He drives his car, turns on the television, he writes, he carries. He violates all the lamatas malachas. So if he never heard it, he never heard of the whole institution of Shabbos, but then he brings one chatas. What if he knows about Shabbos, but he just never heard of kosei, mochek, five malachas he never heard of. So then the Gemara says there's chiluk malachas, he brings five chatas. What if he knows all about Shabbos, but he didn't know about the lamatas of his malachas? Not that he didn't know five, he didn't know all lamatas of his malachas. So the Gemara, how come the Mishnah writes that the number? What's the significance of mentioning Ovis Malachas Abayim Chasarachas at their Lamites? We'll add it up, we'll see their Lamites. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Shemason Kul Me'alamachas, Chayvo Kalachas Uyachas. He knows the institution of Shabbos, but he never heard of the Lamites Ovis Malachas. And then he's Chayv to bring Lamites Chatos. That's called Chilik Malachas L'Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, so what did he know about Shabbos? The other Leil Shabbos Ben Mai. What did he know about Shabbos? So Tosfos says, what's bit? He knew you dress up, you light candles, you have a lacha mishnah, you have a big party, flesh, yayin, kiddush, you go to shul, like a lot of Jews today. They never heard of the lamatas malach, but they know Shabbos is a holy day, special day. You say kiddush, do a lot of things. So the Gemara, so the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rishonim say, Tosfos doesn't say like this, but the Ramban says, and the Talmid Ramban say, that's not called the other Leil Shabbos. To know Kedusha Sal Shabbos, you have to know some Yisurim. You know that you have Lecha Mishnah, and you say Kiddush, and you dress up Big Day Shabbos, and you go to Shul, and you have Shal V'Shudas, Eichel Aman, that's that, you have to know Malachas. Gemara says, so what did he know about Shabbos? What is it that he know? Gemara said, Yodalei B'Tchumen. If you're all like Rabbi Akiva, Tchumen is their eyes, they say, he knew that Shabbos, he's not allowed to go Chutz to Tchum. But he never heard of the Lamates of his Malachas. So then you chayv Lamates. But if he only knew about the mitzvahs Esei of Shabbos, didn't know about the mitzvahs Lois Esei, that's not called knowing the Kedusha Shabbos. Kedusha Shabbos means that there is some Yisurim involved. See, that's a question. Let's say a ger wants to convert. So he has to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So some... There's a sefer Melamed Lohoyel. Melamed Lohoyel is a collection of truths about David Zvi Hoffman. He's known more for his writings attacking those who wrote biblical criticism. So he explained the Chumash that there are no literary problems in the Chumash, everything reads straight. But he has Tshuvas also. So the Tshuvas Sefer is problematic, though, because in the introduction, the son writes in the Hagdama to the Sefer, my father passed away, Reb David Zvi Hoffman. And he found all of the ksavim, so he gave it to a Talmid Chacham to put it in order, and they printed it posthumously, and his father didn't check it over. He was in the Olam HaEmes already. So that's a question. When they print the Sefer posthumously, After Rav Chaim Elojan had passed away, they also printed a sefer posthumously called Chutam Shulosh, a collection of the different shuvas. The first third is by Rav Chaim Elojan, then by two sons-in-law of his, Rav Leizer Yitzchak, Rav Leizer Yitzchak, and Rav Hillel. And then by mistake, Rav Chaim Elojan was not alive. By mistake, they put in a tshuva that was written by the Mishkan Yankov to Rav Chaim Elojan. They put it by mistake. They put it in the sefer as if it's Rav Chaim Elojan's tshuva. The Mishkan Yankov printed it while he was alive in his sefer. And you can tell by the style that it's not by Rav Chaim Elojan, it's by the Mishkan Yankov. So that's a problem. Maybe the Malamed L'Hoyle backed out from some of the tshuvas that he wrote. They're not... Maybe he started writing things and he changed his mind later on. Maybe he wouldn't want to print them. That's a question. Whenever you print tshuvas, halacha l'maaseh, by a person is no longer alive, maybe he changed his mind. So he has a tshuva. You want to be megayer a person, you know he's not going to observe mitzvahs. So only ask him the questions that you know he's going to give the right answers. So ask him, do you pledge to give tzedakah? Yes. Going to march in the Israeli parade? Yes. You're going to buy Israeli bonds? Yes. You're going to be after the racha kamaycha. Give him all the questions that you know he's going to give the right. Don't answer him, are you going to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? So that's a question. Is that called Kedushas Yisrael? Kedushas Yisrael, just like Kedushas Haaretz. Kedushas Haaretz means you have to have Yisurim. So that's what Tosfos says. That Bikurim, there's no Issa Tevel if you're not Mafrish Bikurim. So Tosfos thinks that Bikurim is not from the mitzvah Satluyas Bart. Mitzvah Satluyas Bart is a mitzvah that depends on Kedushas Haaretz. So Tosfos thinks there are two opinions in Tosfos. One opinion, that's not called Kedusha. Kedusha, you have to have some Yisurim involved. So maybe in order to be endowed with Kedushas Yisrael, you need Kabbalas on mitzvahs. Maybe you have to be Mekabal mitzvahs that have an Issa with them. It just has mitzvahs. Goody-goody mitzvahs, and you don't have any restrictions. Rashi writes on Parshas Kedoshim that Kedoshim to you, when a person is parish min harayis, when he abstains from gili harayis, that's called Kedusha. Kedusha has to have Yisurim with him. So that's what the Rabbi Menachem Zem and that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik suggest. And maybe the two girsoyas, whether you do have Bikurim or you don't have Bikurim in the Mishnah, depend on this issue. Bikurim is in the mitzvahs hatlois baratz, and it doesn't belong in the Mishnah because the Mishnah says Eretzon Mekadeshes Mekol Haratzos has a lower level of kedushas hamigdash, and says Shemivim Eno Imer Shtalachem. It didn't say Chumas Hamaisa Shmita V'Yovel and so on. Why the Mishnah didn't list off? The Mishnah is telling me that it has a lower level of kedushas hamigdash, not that it has a kedushas haaretz. So Bikurim is from the mitzvah hatlois baratz, and according to the other opinion that Tosfos says that Bikurim is not a mitzvah hatlois baratz. So then maybe it's because Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Hamigdash. Maybe it does belong in the Mishnah. Maybe that's the issue, whether you say Bikurim in the Mishnah. There are different levels in Kedushas Hamigdash. The Minchas Chena points out in one place that we have an expression in Tanakh, Lifnei Hashem, and in different places has different connotations. Take, for example, there's a pasuk, V'achalto Shom Lifnei Hashem Alkecha, That's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, I think. Where do you eat Ma'aseh Shein? In Yerushalayim. So it's a V'chalta Sham Lefnei Hashem Alakecha. All of Yerushalayim is considered Lefnei Hashem Alakecha. Then you have another pasuk in Parshas Ve'yikra. V'shachat Ez Ben HaBakar Lefnei Hashem. You have to shecht all the karbonis in the Azara. You can't shecht it in the Harabais. You certainly can't shecht in Yerushalayim. So there, V'shachat has ben abaka lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in the Azara. And then there's a third pasuk that the Minchas Chena quotes. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, on Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah to blow shofar, on a Tanis Siba there's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzres. So, chutz lebeis hamigdash, on Rosh Hashanah we only blow shofar, we don't blow chatzotzres. And on a Tanis Siba maybe it's supposed to blow chatzotzres. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, how come we don't blow chatzotzres? The Mishnah says on that tiny seed, but he's supposed to, so he works on that shayla. So the Mishnah says, however, in the Beis Hamikdash, on Rosh Hashanah they blew shofar and chatzotzres, on a tiny seed, but they blew both. The difference was on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar be'emtza, and there were two chatzotzres min atzadim. And on a tiny seed, but the chatzotzres were be'emtza, and the two shofars were min atzadim. Because whatever the mitzvah sayayim is, that fellow should stand in the middle. That's the most chosham. And then they blew the shofar and the chatzotzres simultaneously. That's how the Mishnah says, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, "B'chatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei Hamelech Hashem," because the Beis Hamikdash is the makom haTfila, and blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a form of Tfila, and blowing chatzotzos on a Tanis Sibra is also a form of Tfila, a form of Zaka. So both on Rosh Hashanah and on Tainiyos, you want to, in the Beis Hamikdash, you want to enhance the Tfila by blowing both. So where did they do? Where did they blow chatzotzos and kol shofar hariyu lefnei Hamelech Hashem? Where? So the Mishnah says that after the Churban HaBayis, one of the Tanoim wanted to introduce this practice chutz lebeis hamikdash. They say no, that's only in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Har HaBayis. The Gemara says lehoi nogim kein ela b'Har HaBayis, because b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei Hamelech Hashem. That's in the Har HaBayis. So the Menchas Chinuch points out sometimes the expression lefnei Hashem means the Azora. Sometimes it means the whole Har HaBayis, and sometimes it means the whole Yerushalayim. The answer is, Lifnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash, and there are 10 different levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's the Esek Kedushas, the 10 levels of the Kedushas HaMikdash. The Novi Yecheskel lived right before the Churban by his Rishon, and then during the Churban, he was in Golas Babel. He had Nevuah in Babel. So the Novi Yecheskel says b'nevuah, he was telling the people in advance that Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, the Jewish people will be sent into Golas Babel, and despite the fact they won't have the real Beis HaMikdash, they'll have the miniature Beis HaMikdash there in Babel. What is that referring to? So the Gemara has in the end of Megillah, I think on Daf Chav Tes, towards the end of Megillah, so the Gemara says that's a reference to Batei Knesis and Batei Midrash and Shebe Babel. All the shuls all over the world, and all the yeshivas all over the world, are considered a mikdash miyat. So it's based on that pasuk that we have the institution of kedushas beis haknesses and kedushas beis hamedrash. And the Gemara has a machlekes at Yechanan and Rabbi Shaul ben Levi, which is the higher level of kedusha. The end of Megillah, where the beis haknesses are beis hamedrash, nafkamina ledina, the din is malam hakodesh v'lom aridni. You're permitted to convert the location that has a lower level of kedusha into a higher level of kedusha, but the reverse is not allowed. So we paskin la'alocha like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, not like Rabbi Yechanan, that you're permitted to convert a shul into a yeshiva, into a beis medrash, but you're not allowed to convert a beis medrash into a shul. Beis medrash has a higher level of kedusha. Rabbi Yechanan held the reverse, that the beis haknesses has a higher level of kedusha. And the Gemara says we don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. We have the minig based on the Zohar that the place where they lay in Kriyas HaDeva should be on an elevated platform, Zechel Ma'amid HaSinai, that the Torah was given from on top of the mountain. So the whole shul is on one level, and the bima, where you learn Kriyas HaTorah, is on a higher level. It's not only on a higher level that the voice of the Baal Korah should carry, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov you can't use a loudspeaker. It's Zechel Ma'amid HaSinai. That's what the Zohar says. So the Achronim say that that's only in a shul. In a Beis HaMedrash, the whole Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning. So the Beis Medrash doesn't have to have an elevated platform. The old Beis HaMedrash is considered on top of the mountain. The whole thing is miyuchad for learning. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there are 10 different levels of Kedusha. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha as HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you have the Heichal, then you have the Azara, then you have the Har HaBayis. So too in the Beis HaKnesses, different parts of the Beis HaKnesses have different levels of Kedusha corresponding to what the different sections used to be like in the Beis HaMikdash. So the women's section in the Beis HaMikdash did not have a Kedusha Azor, only had a Kedusha Har HaBayis. Rashi writes, I think, on the Gemara, in a few places, Rashi writes, the Chachamim decided not to be Mekadosh de Ezra Snoshim, a Kedusha Azor. If it would have had a din of Azara, it said there's a din ein yeshiva b'Azara ela l'malchei beis dovid b'vay. No one's allowed to sit in the Azara. Even the Kohen Gadol not allowed to sit in the Azara. Only the melech from the malchei beis dovid is allowed to sit. So the women, years ago, the women used to be much weaker than the men. The women went through childbirth. So the women would be pregnant, they would be nursing. Now the women take prenatal pills and postnatal pills, so they're stronger than their husbands. With having the babies, they're very healthy. They take all these healthy pills. But years ago, until recently, the women used to be weaker. They were weaker than the men. So the Chacham didn't want to make it impossible for them to come to the Beis HaMikdash. They have to stand. So they said they only be Kaddish Ezras Nashim with Kedushas Harabais. They didn't give a Kedushas Azar. The men who go into the Azara have to stand. No one's allowed to sit down in the Azar. But in the women's section, you can sit. So that's what the Achrayim assume, that the women's section in the Beis HaKnesses has a lower level of Kedusha than the men's section. So there would be a din of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. You would be permitted to convert part of the women's section into a men's section. That's called Malin Bakodesh. But the reverse, you wouldn't be allowed to do. So Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld had just passed away a couple of months ago. He was a prominent rabbi. He was very close to Rabbi Soloveitchik. He was from the earliest students of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So when he first built his shul in Queens, I think it was in Kew Gardens Hills, so they guessed wrong, and they made the men's section bigger than they needed, and the women's section was smaller than they needed. More women came to shul than they expected. So they had a shaila. After a couple of months, they realized that the women's section is too crowded, men's section has an extra room. They want to know, can they move over the mechitz and convert some of the men's section to the women's section? So yes, Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, all the classical poskim. That's a violation. And Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the men's section had Kedushas Hazor, the women's section only had Kedushas Harabais, so all the sections in the shul also correspond to the different sections in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do? What do you do? So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave him the etzah that the classical poskim would say. They did it in Broyers also. Broyers has the women's section is upstairs, and the women have to have koyach to walk upstairs. So about maybe 15, 20 years ago, I don't remember, not all the women are able to walk upstairs. You have to have koyach to walk. So they took up two sections from the men's section, and they cordoned them off, and they didn't allow anybody to daven there. And the Ramban writes in a few places about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Ramban's opinion is that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's not a Tashmishi Kedusha. The Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam seems to hold that a Beis HaKnesses is a Migdash Miyah, just like the Beis HaMigdash has Kedusha. So there's a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, it also has Kedusha, like a Migdash Miyah. So the Ramban, in a few places on Gemara, writes it's a Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's not a Tashmishi Kedusha. So what do you do with the Esrog or the Schach after Sukkot is over? After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, so it no longer has Kedusha. Tashmishi Mitzvah have Kedusha b'Zman Mitzvasam. It's Huktzah L'Mitzvasai. The Esrog and the Hadassim and so on are Huktzah L'Mitzvasam b'Zman HaMitzvah. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, it's finished. Unless you plan to have the Esrog for next year, then the Zman HaMitzvah is not up. But who's going to save the Esrog until next year? In Europe, a lot of times it was impossible to get an Esrog under the communists. They wouldn't let you to keep any mitzvahs. So Moshe Feinstein used to preserve the Esrog from year to year by putting in a jar of honey. He preserved the whole Esrog from year to year. A sticky Esrog. Mm-hmm. So they had to wash off all the honey next year. But normal people don't preserve the Esrog from year to year. So because the Zman HaMitzvah is up. What do you do if you have a talis? So it calls man the talis of the Eimet Limitzvah, so it has a Kedusha. After this man HaMitzvah is up, let's say it's an old talis, worn out, stained, torn. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to use it anymore. The owner bought a new talis, not going to use the old one. The shul doesn't want it. The poor people in the neighborhood don't want it. So what do you do with the talis? The din is you throw it in the garbage. Tashmishi Mitzvah and Nizrakim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashbo, who quotes the Ravid, you shouldn't throw it in the garbage together with dirty diapers or with fish bones or with chicken bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. But the end of this story is that you throw out the talis in the garbage. It's Tashmishi Mitzvah and Nizrakim. Tashmishi Kedusha on the Gnosim. If you have an old, let's say, a cardboard container that you cover the tefillin with, and you have an old tefillin zekel, has no psukim on it, doesn't have any psukim on it, that's a Tashmishi Kedusha. Or let's say you have a plastic cover that you used to cover the mezuzah, and it broke, or you have a fancier one now, so you want to get rid of the old one. So you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, even if it doesn't have any psukim, it doesn't have a shem Hashem on it. That's Tashmishi Kedusha on the Gnosim. You have to put it in the shemis. So the Ramban is of the opinion that Mikaradin, the Ikaradin, the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is a Tashmishei Mitzvah, because the Beis HaKnesses helps us daven better. It doesn't enable us to daven. It's not like an Esrig that enables us to fulfill the Mitzvah of Esrig. Not like Tzitzis, that without the Tzitzis you can't fulfill the Mitzvah. Beis HaKnesses gives us the ability to daven better. It enhances our davening. So the Ramban says that's the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses, as the status like Tashmishei Mitzvah. When all the Jews move out of the neighborhood and they no longer plan to daven in that shul. There are old shuls where the conservative and reformed temples where all the people moved away, but they come back for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They drive back on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So maybe it still has whatever Kedusha they think it has, because it was a temple. So maybe it still has the Kedusha, because they're going to daven there Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But if all the Orthodox Jews move away, they're not going to come back for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Ramban writes, strictly speaking, Be'ikar Adin, once the building is no longer going to be used for davening, and no longer has the status of Tashmishei Mitzvah. But Midrabanan, the din is you have to sell it. And then it's Teifus, is Domov, Midrabanan. And then you say, Malamakodesh Olamarid, you have to use the money for something higher, a higher level of importance. You should use the money to buy Sifrei Torah. That's Midrabanan. You have to wait till after the Kedusha Darais is off. The Kedusha Darais is off, but no one's going to daven there anymore. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik told Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld. That's what the classical Poskim say. That's what they did in Breuers also. They cordoned off two sections of the Menshul because they didn't need so much. In recent years, when I moved into the neighborhood, in Breuers Shul, every single seat was taken every day of the week. I came to shul when I first got married. I thought it was like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every single seat was taken. There was no place to put your coat. Every seat was taken. And now, there's only one person for every five rows. The whole shul is empty. So there are two big sections in the men's section. They cordoned off. They said no one should daven here. After they stopped davening there for a couple of months, so the board had a meeting and they sold it. The Kedusha disappeared because they made up their mind they're not going to daven there anymore. So the Ramban says, after it's no longer used for davening, so the Kedusha deraisa goes off, Tashmisha mitzvah, after Zman HaMitzvah is up, there's no Kedusha, but Midrabanan, you have to sell it to be paid. So they sold it to someone. The board agreed to sell it to someone for $10, and then they bought it back, and they designated it as a women's section. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik told Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld years ago. You should cordon off a section and a men's section. No one should daven there for a couple of months. And after they made up their mind, no one's going to daven there. So that part lost its kedusha on the level of their isa. It's not miyuchad. No one's davening there anymore. So then the board had a meeting and they sold it to someone. They were mafkir the kedusha and the money they used to fixing Sifrei Torah or whatever. And then they bought it back and they designated it as a women's section. But just to move over the mechitza, all the classical poskim say that's not permissible because the women's section has a lower level of Kedusha than the men's section, just like in the Beis HaMikdash. That would be a violation of Malam HaKodesh for Lom HaRidin. The Gemara in Kedusha talks about the end of the second paragraph. A man is Mekadosh and Isha. A Kohen is Mekadosh and Isha with his share of a Mincha, or with share of a Chatos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The girl is in the Azara. Isha Bazar Menayin. Women don't walk into the Azara. So the Gemara says, her father's in the Azor. The father was Mekabel Kedushin for his daughter. Or a woman happened to walk into the Azor. He can't take the kochim out of the Azor. It'll be Nifsal B'yotze. So how can a woman walk into the Azor? So Rashi learns out the Gemara, Isha Bazar Minayin, Bitmiya, it's an Isser. Women are not allowed to enter the Azor. Tosfos says, there's no Isser. There's no Pasuk. There's no Isser. It's just that the practice was the women stayed in the Azor Sashim. The women didn't go to the Azor. They don't belong in the Azor. That's for the men. The women belong in the Azor Snashim, but they don't think that there's an Issa. But it's clearly the women's section has a lower level of Kedusha than the men's section. There's a Chuvas HaRambam that the one who founded the Lublina Yeshiva, Rameir Shapiro, that was the first yeshiva that had a dormitory with a Chadar Ochel. There was a big Kiddush. In the Nira Yeshiva, they had no dormitory. The boys had to rent their own apartments, and they had to pay rent to the balabastas, and then the women would cook for them. Or they had an arrangement in some cities that the Talmidim would eat by Balabatim. Every Sunday night they ate by this Balabos, every Monday night they ate by that Balabos, so on. And Rav Meir Shapiro thought that that's a bizarre Torah. He made a dormitory with it, but it didn't last too long. The Nazis came and they destroyed everything, took it away. So Rav Meir Shapiro had put out a few svarim. So one of the svarim is a Shadus and Tshuvas Or HaMeir. So the very last tshuva in the Or HaMeir, I seem to remember, I don't know why, my father had two copies of the Or HaMeir in his library. So the last tshuva in the Or HaMeir, he writes about, he quotes a Tshuvas HaRambam, that every part of the shul corresponds to the different parts in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Aron Kodesh in the shul, the Makom Aron Kodesh in the shul corresponds to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because in the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Aron was, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gemara says, the Gag, on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was Niskadosh. Usually, Gag and Aliyos learn Niskadoshim. The Gag and Aliyos in Yerushalayim, they had to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level. They couldn't eat it higher up. Couldn't eat Maaseh Sheni either. Gag and Aliyos learn Niskadoshim. You have to eat Maaseh. That's what Tosfos says. You can't eat Maaseh Sheni on the higher levels. Tosfos and Makkos writes like that. And the second parak in Makkos, they had it just like Gag and Aliyos learn Niskadoshim. Vis-a-vis Korban Pesach, so Tosfos assumes, not all the Rishonim agree, Tosfos assumes the same is true regarding Maaseh Sheni. Only the ground level has. And even the Gag and Aliyos of the Azara also learn Niskadoshim. So that's why the Ramah writes in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, you're permitted to use the rooms, you're permitted to use the roof of the shul for Divrei Chol, or if there are rooms upstairs, you can use the rooms above the Beis HaKnesses for Divrei Chol, because in the Beis HaMikdash, Gag and Aliyos learn Niskadoshim. So the Rambam in the Tshuva writes, but the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gag was Niskadosh. The Menchas Chinuch writes, there is no rule where the Gag and Aliyos is Kadosh. All depends when they built the Beis HaMikdash, what do they have in mind? Did they have in mind to be Mekadosh or not? Or let's say the thickness, the Ovi HaChoma, the thickness of the wall, the walls were very thick. The Ovi HaChoma wasn't as Kadosh or not. Some yes and some no. So what's the rule? So Menchas Chinuch said there is no rule. Whatever the Chachamim had in mind when they built the Bayi Sheni. So they were Mekadosh. They had a whole cheshbon why they wanted to be Mekadosh this and not to be Mekadosh that. But there are no rules how it's supposed to be. So the Rambam says that the room directly above the Aron Kodesh in the shul, you're not allowed to use a Divrei Chol. So that's why some of the boys won't sit on the couch on the second floor in Gluck, because the couch in the hallway is directly above the Aron Kodesh. So the Rambam and the Tshuva writes, that's the last Tshuva, or Rameyer, the Tshuvas of Rameyer, Rameyer Shapiro, he quotes that Rambam, you should be machmer for that. What does it mean that the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyat, a miniature Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it means like this, both in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Beis HaKnesses, we have a rendezvous, this was his lashon, we have a rendezvous with the Shechina. But the difference is that in Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, we go to visit the Shechina in Beis Hashem. The Beis HaKnesses is Beiseinu, and the Shechina comes to visit us. He thought that that's what it means, Mikdash Meyat. He saw that this is a similar difference, similar to the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, we meet up, we have a pgisha, a rendezvous with the Shechina, but on Shalosh Regalim, we go to the Beis HaMikdash to be Ola Reg, we go to visit the Shechina, the Beiso. And on Shabbos, the Shechina comes to visit us. When we turn around and we say, Boy Vishalom, Ateres Bala, we welcome not only Shabbos is entering, the Shechina is coming to spend Shabbos with us. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's the reason why in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Big Day Yontav have to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. So some of the Achrayim say because on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah of Simcha, on Shabbos there's not. So because of the mitzvah of Simcha, you have to have fancier begotten. So Rav Soloveitchik had a different suggestion. He thought when you go to visit the king in the royal palace, you have to dress up much fancier than if the king is coming to visit by you. So on Yom Tov we're going to visit was supposed to be oiler regular, supposed to visit the Shechina in Beis Hashem. And on Shabbos, the Shechina comes to visit by us. Rav Soloveitchik on Yontov used to wear a top hat. On Shabbos, he wore a normal hat. On Yontov, he used to wear a top hat, a cylinder, and he used to wear a Prince Albert, fancy with tails, very fancy malbush. The Chazon Ish writes that today we're not so wealthy, so we wear the same begodim Shabbos and Yontov. We don't have any difference. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Achrayim quote from the Yerushalmi that Big Day Yontov is supposed to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. It's supposed to be Big Day Yontov, Big Day Shabbos, then Chol HaMoed is supposed to be lower level than Big Day Chol, and Big Day Chasana is supposed to be fancier than Big Day Yontov. A chasana when he gets married, is supposed to have fancy. He's supposed to have five different suits, one for the Chasana, one for Yontov, one for Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish says we can't afford it, so we wear the same on Shabbos and Yontov. The Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, yeah, what's the level of the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? What exactly is this? So the Ran on the Rif in Maseches Megillah writes that this whole idea of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only Midirabbanan. On the level of there is no such thing as Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Ramban thinks not so. The Ramban thinks that it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah. And Tashmishei Mitzvah have Kedusha Bizman Mitzvahs, and that's learned out from the Pasuk of Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah. And that's because hooked to the Mitzvah, that you're not allowed to eat it. Hadassim are hooked to the Mitzvah, so you're not allowed to smell it. And everything is based on the Pasuk that the Sukkah is hooked to the Mitzvah. So that's a drasha from the Pasuk. That's assumed to be a real din deraisa by the sukkahs, kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. That's on daptesa min aleph in masecha sukkah. And you learn out from Amar Matzinu, from sukkah to esrig, and to hadasim, and to tzitzis, and to the Beis HaKnesses. Everything is Amar Matzinu. But the other Rishonim don't agree with the Ramban that it's a tashmishei mitzvah. They all know it's a Tashmishei Kedusha, like the Beis HaMikdash. but the Ran writes that it's only an Asmachta Midrabbanan. The Chayodam quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz when the Sefer Yireim that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is Daraisa. So he's upset why he refers to the Vilna Gaon as his Mechutin. Not exactly so. He was a mechut on one of the children on the Vilna Gaon, but it sounds better if you say, my mechut in the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. He printed the hesped. So he writes, when the Vilna Gaon passed away, they took his oren with his dead body into the shul, and they delivered a hesped. So he said that was permissible, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to take a mace into the shul, even though you want to deliver a hesped. You shouldn't be allowed to use the shul for other purposes, even for mitzvahs. But for Tzorchei Rabim, the Gemara says you have no choice. If you have a big funeral, and there is no funeral home big enough to hold so many people, and there is no social hall in the shul where you can have the hesped, so the Gemara says that you're permitted to deliver the hesped in the shul because it's Tzorchei Rabim. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Achronim would say you're not allowed to have a chuppah in the shul. He thought that they were right, even though getting married is a mitzvah. The Hungarian Rabbanim were opposed to the chuppah in the shul because the Reform introduced it. They were imitating the Christians. By the Christians, they have only seven mitzvahs ben erech, they have seven sacraments. So one of their seven sacraments is marriage, and the seven sacraments have to be done in the church. So the Reform decided to imitate everything from the church. So for years, they never had chuppahs in the shul, and then they started it to imitate the churches. So that's why the Hungarian Rabbanim were opposed mamash chukasakam. Rav Soloveitchik said, forget about chukasakam. Even though getting married is a mitzvah, you're not allowed to use the shul for other mitzvahs, other purposes, only for Torah or Tfilah. We do a bris in shul. Rav Soloveitchik thought, not that we go out of our way to have the bris in the shul. Since we usually do the bris right after Shachris, so it's Tzorchei Rabim, it's a Tichat de Tzibur to have the people, they just finished davening Shas, you're going to tell them to go somewhere else to have the bris. And Broyers, they never have the bris in shul because they're going to have the meal right across the street. So they tell all the people, take off your talisman, go across the street. They have the bris across the street and the meal across the street. So Rav Soloveitchik, if he would know in advance that someone is getting married in a shul, he would dray his way out of it without hurting their feelings. He didn't want to tell them you're doing wrong by getting married in the shul. But he would always give some kind of a teretz why he wouldn't want to go. If it was family, he had no choice, so he would go. But he was not happy about it. He thought that using the shul for the bris is a kul of tzorchei rabim, because of tircha de tzibur. Some people have the attitude, let's say the moel has five brisin in the same day, and my bris is going to be 11:30 in the morning, or 12 o'clock, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Really supposed to be before Chatzos. P'im Agadim says it's supposed to be before Chatzos. To postpone a bris to left the Chatzos is really a violation of Zriz Magdim and the Mitzvahs. You should do it as early as possible, but after Chatzos is really a shtikala violation. P'im Agadim writes that in Ilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a tshuva from the Aruch that was sent to Rabbeinu Shlomo. They say the Rabbeinu Shlomo is Rashi. The Aruch knew that Rashi existed. I don't know, that's what they say. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, when you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you perform the bris? So the Aruch, Machabe quotes, the Aruch said, you do the bris right before Tkiyas Shofar, because we say, Schar Lanim Bris Avram Akedas Yitzchak. So the Tkiyas Shofar is Zechet El Akedas Yitzchak, and the bris Milah is Bris Avram. So the Bris Avram is supposed to precede Akedas Yitzchak. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the tshuva written by the Aruch, that you do the bris right before the Tkiyas Shofar. So the Prima Gaonim asks, why was there an issue? When do you normally do the bris all year long? You do the bris at the end of the davening, before you say, Aleinu L'shabech, Shalom L'san K'goyehu Arotzois, we have a bris milah, and the Achim don't have. So you always do the bris before Aleinu. Now, when you have a bris, so half the people don't plan to stay to the bris. So you can't keep everybody waiting, so you say Aleinu, whoever's going to leave, leaves, and then you have the bris, and then you say Aleinu again. But normally, when you used to have a little village, everybody would stay to the bris, so they would have the bris before Aleinu. So why was there a Shana and Rosh Hashanah? You do the bris at the end of Musaf before Aleinu. So the Bim Gadim says, no. The Shana came up because they introduced so many piyutim, you're not going to say Aleinu to left the Chatzos. And to postpone the bris to left the Chatzos, that's a violation of Zviz Magdim and Lemitzis. Sometimes you have a moil, an expert moil. He has seven bris in one day. So some of the bris are going to be in the afternoon. So that's not really right. You should try to have the bris in the morning. So the getting back again. So the Chayyadam writes that he's a mechut of the Vilna Gaon. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to, you're permitted to deliver a hesped in shul if there's no other room that's big enough to hold all the people. That's Tzorchei Rabim, that's the Gemara Megillah. If it's going to be a big crowd of people and you don't have any other place, if there's not enough room in the social hall, then you're allowed to do it in the shul also. But you shouldn't bring the mace into the shul. That's a bizayin beis haknesses, unless it's go'on v'aluf, unless it's an outstanding talmid chacham. So the practice used to be, every rabbi, Tom, Dick, and Harry, any rabbi who would pass away, they would take the mace, they would take the aron into the shul, and the liver has been in front of the yard. So the Chayyadim complains that that's against the din. He says, well, my Mechutin passed away, the Vilna Gaon, he was Gaon V'aluf. During his lifetime, he was known as a great Gaon V'aluf. So that was permissible, to take his Zaron into the Beis HaKnesses. But if it's not Gaon V'aluf, it's not right. And then he says, and you should really be more careful about covered Beis HaKnesses, because even though the Rana Megillah and the Rif says that it's only Midir Rabbanan, the whole thing is only Midir Rabbanan, but Reb Lezer admits in the Sefer Yirmiyahu, Reb Lezer admits in one of the Balei HaTosfos, he was the Talmid of Rabbi Natan. Reb Lezer admits writes in the Sefer Yirmiyahu, not so, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa. So he writes that whenever there's a Shaila, a Sofik in Ilchas covered Beis HaKnesses, it should really go to Chumra, because Sofik the Raisa the Chumra. We should be choshish Reb Lezer admits that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa, and the Choybas covered Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa. Reb Soloveitchik used to say over a Raya that the Rambam holds like Reb Lezer admits also that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he lists off all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and then he wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic. And we, those of us who don't know Arabic, we use the Hebrew translations. And then the whole Mishnah Torah, the whole Yad HaZaka of the Rambam, The whole thing is based on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The beginning of every section, it tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover. By the time you get to the end of the last page in the Rambam, you've covered all the 613 mitzvahs. That's what Talmud Torah is all about. You should learn the 613 mitzvahs. You should learn all the details, know what the 613 mitzvahs are, and all the details. You should observe them. Some people think that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to sharpen your head, and to ask good kashas and to give good terutzim. That's one aspect of Talmud Torah. That's the icing on the second piece of cake as dessert after you're ready. But first you have to have the meat and potatoes, the main course of the meal. You have to know the taryag mitzvahs, the kashas and the terutzim. That's fancy. That's extra. The ikar of Talmud Torah is to know the taryag mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic, and then he himself wrote the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora, that's in Hebrew. The Mishnah Torah of the Rambam begins with the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has usually a short paragraph on every mitzvah. And the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora has only one or two lines for every mitzvah. So when it comes to the mitzvah of L'sasen Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, it says, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we'll find a lot of Avodah Zarah there. The Zaynumas and there's a Chita Amar Pisa Iglusim Agigosh. He used to worship Avodah Zarah. So there's a mitzvah. Asherem Tisru from Boesh Psila Lahem Tigadeon. The Baal Temeshmam and Amak Mahul. Then it says Losas and Kain Loshem Alakechem. What do you mean Losas and Kain Loshem Alakechem? So Moichekas the Baal Temeshmam. One is Moichekas Hashem is Loike because he violates Losas and Kain Loshem Alakechem. Or Asar the Noite Tzevin Min Amizbeach. That's also an Issa. When he tasked them as Mizbechoisam, she barred them as Matzevoisam, Losas and Kain Lashem Alokechem. So the Raman writes in the Minyan Amitzvahs, Biktsor, Azor, the Noite Tzevim, and Amizbeach, Omin Hazora, Omi Bati Ganesias, Omi Bati Midroshas. So he's putting this into the Minyan Amitzvahs, Biktsorah. He never writes it anywhere else. It seems pretty obvious that he thinks that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is mamish migdash miyad. It's a miniature of kedushas beis hamigdash, and one is in violation of the issa deraisa if he's noitates even from the beis haknesses or the beis hamedrash. This Tehemet is an encyclopedia that was written 100 years ago, and he quotes the Achrayim made this deal. So it's interesting. Rav Soloveitchik noticed it also, that the Rambam seems to agree with Rav Lezer and admits that kedushas beis haknesses is really a din deraisa. The paroches and the Beis Hamikdash used to be made from shatnas. You look in the psukim in the parsha, had shatnas in it. Shatnas is only in Issa Levisha, Issa Ha'aloh. There's no Issa to have a paroches of shatnas. The Gemara at the end of the first parak in Beitza asks, why did they prohibit the Rabbanon Vilon? What did they prohibit the Rabbanon? So the Rishonim learns, unclear, a different pshatim. So Tosfos on the Daf says, why did they say you're not allowed to have a curtain, curtains that are made from shatnas? Because sometimes it's chilly in the apartment, and the landlord doesn't always give enough steam. So a person may be chilly, so he'll lean on the curtain and wrap himself in the curtain to keep warm, and he'll be in violation of ha'aloh. Beger klaim shatnas lo yalo alecha. There's an isa levisha, there's an isa ha'aloh. You're not allowed to wear shatnas. If you put your sleeves in, you put your legs in the trousers, you're wearing it, underwear, clothing. And then halah, so if you use shatnas as a blanket, or you wrap yourself with a curtain of shatnas, it's not a beggar, it's not a garment, but that's an isa halah. So that's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. Why did they say that you're not allowed to make a vilon from shatnas? Because people will sometimes be mischamim in the shatnas. So in the days of the Gemara says in Megillah, the paroches and the Beis HaKnesses used to have the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Why so? So the Gemara says, but it's twice removed. It's Tashmish, the Tashmish. The Oren Kodesh is Tashmishei Kedusha because it holds the Sefer Torah. And the paroches in front is Meshamesh, the Oren Kodesh, which in turn is Mishamish the Sefer Torah. So since the Aron Kodesh is a Tashmish the Tashmish twice, since the Pareches in the Shul is a Tashmish the Tashmish, so why does it have Kedusha? So the Gemara says because the practice in the days of the Gemara used to be, they didn't have a mappa that they always put on top of the Shulchan. When they would take out the Sefer Torah, they would pull down the Pareches from in front of the Aron Kodesh, put it on the Shulchan, put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it. So the Pareches used to be used mitzad the Aron Kodesh. It's really a Tashmish, the Tashmish, and it should not have the status of Tashmish Kedusha. But when they, since that was a common practice, when they learned Kriya Satara, they would put the Pareches on the Shulchan, put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it, so the Pareches was a Tashmish Kedusha. Bizman Azeh, nobody does that. Our Pareches, you can't even take it down. Not easy to take it down. And we always have a map on top of the Shulchan. We don't take down the Pareches. So Bizman Azeh, the Pareches really does not have, should not have the status of Tashmish Kedusha. It's really a Tashmish, the Tashmish. So that's what the Noisa Kalim on the side of the page in Yeridea point out. That Bizman Azeh, the Pareches is a Tashmish, the Tashmish. That's why there was a common practice in Europe to use the Pareches for a chuppah. That's why many of the old Pareches have four metal rings in the four corners, because they used to have four poles to hold up the four metal rings on top of the pole to get married for a chuppah. How can you use, you can't use something that's Tashmish Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for a chuppah. The answer is because they knew that Bizman Azeh, the Pareches does not have the status of Tashmish Kedusha, because it's twice removed, it's Tashmish to Tashmish. So that's a problem, since it's twice removed, so then you are allowed to, strictly speaking, you are allowed, if it's chilly in the shul, you can lean on the Pareches and wrap yourself with the Pareches. No one in his right mind is going to do it. But when you order in America, when you order a Pareches, unless you give them instructions, 95% of the time they will send you a Pareches with Shatnas. Because that was the practice in Europe. They used to make Pareches with Shatnas, Zechal HaMikdash. Because the Pareches on the base of HaMikdash had Shatnas, Pareches on the base of HaMikdash was mutter to use Shatnas. But on the side of the page in Yeridei Hilchos Shatnas, they say that today, since the Pareches is no longer a Tashmish Kedusha, it's Tashmish Metashmish, and we do use it for Divrei Chol, we use it for a chuppah. So that's a question. Maybe it's not really right to make it from Shatnas. So more correct is that they should, when your shul wants to order a Pareches, they should give them instructions not to put in any Shatnas. The yeshiva used to have their museum. YU has a YU museum. So they used to have a museum in the library building, adjacent to this building. So they once had a display of Pareches. So many of the Pareches had the four metal rings in the corner because they used to use it as a chuppah. And others didn't have the metal rings. They had diagonal slits in the four corners because when you look at Eben HaEzer, the simon about the nisuin. So there are different opinions. How do you do nisuin? So one opinion is standing under the canopy. That's the nisuin. Why so? So the different versions of that. So some say because of the cloth on top. For us, the kalafecha lama secha megillas rus. It says that he was going to marry her. So she said, "For us, the kalafecha lama secha, you should marry me." When Ruth slept over in the goren. So that's a lashon for nisuin. So many have the practice that you put the talis on top of the chos and kala together. That's the farasta kanafel chala masecha. And in recent years, that you have to book, a place, you have to book a caterer, book a photographer, and so on, months in advance. So the kala can't always go to mikveh in advance. In Europe, they would the kala would go to mikveh and then they would get married a few days later. Everybody would come from the neighborhood. Today, people come from the other side of the globe. They come from Eretz Yisrael, from Australia, from New Zealand. So you have to make up in advance. They have to buy tickets. They can't just buy tickets overnight. So that today, that people have to pick a wedding date months in advance. So sometimes the kala can't go to mikveh. The kala didn't go to mikveh. So you can't put them both under the same talis and they're leaning on each other. So maybe that's the reason why they discontinued the talis and they have the mappa on top. And that's the cloth on top of for us the kanafel chalam asech. And others hold that it doesn't have to be cloth on top. It could be metal. It could be something else. The ikar really is the tzuras haPesach. You have kana mikam, kana mikam, kana gabeim, like an erev for Shabbos purposes. The tzuras haPesach is apparently halacha that is dino kemechitza, has a din of a mechitza. So if you have four tzuras haPesach, and one string goes from the top of pole 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 1, back again. So that constitutes a cheder bifnei atzmo. So the Chosen Kala entered into that cheder, and it's like the yichud. But the yichud room is a yichud haroi labia. There's nobody else there, and you lock the door. So no one else can come in. The Rambam says you need yichud haroi labia. There should be nobody else there. And other Rishonim say you don't need yichud haroi labia. Even if there are other people, the parents are standing, the Mesadik Kedushin is standing under the chuppah. But the Chas and Kala both went into the room, into the chuppah room. Chuppah room is where the chuppah is, l'shem nisuin. Hachnasa l'rishusay is the nisuin. So some, you look on the side of the page in the big Ebenezer, there's a commentary called Eze Mikodesh by the rabbi from Buchoch. Buchoch was a city in Galicia. Became famous because Agnon came from Buchoch, and he wrote a lot about Buchoch. So that's why it became more famous than other cities in Galicia. So on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, they have the Eze Mikodesh. So he's not happy with the metal rings in the corner because that's not valid for the purposes of Tzuras HaPesach. The Gemara says in Erev and Tzuras HaPesach min atzad is no good. If you have two poles, you have a string tied around. The string tied around over here is no good. Has to be the way you build houses. The way they build the house, they have kana mikam, kana mikam. Two mezuzahs and a mashkav. The mashkav is on top. Like over here, you have two mezuzahs and the mashkav on top. Goes on top of the two poles. Doesn't go in between the two poles. Doesn't go on the side. Goes on top of the two poles. Kana al gabeyim. One of the great poskim, one of the great Galatiana poskim was the Maharsham from 100 years ago. He probably died 100 years ago. So he paskened that Bizman Hazeh, since when they build houses, they're not so makbet about this kana al gabeyim. They build a house with the kana min atzad. So today it's good. An Arab is good around the city, even if it's a kana min atzad. So some of the Talmidim, many of the Talmidim and the Masham used to make a Eruvim like that. That's how they originally made the Arab in Toronto. They tied the strings around the side. They didn't have al-gabeim, because the one who made the Arab was the Talmud of the Masham. And then they introduced the Lekbet Koilu. Well, they could call it Pasal the Erev. The Erev was there for 100 years. They Pasal the Erev, and they had to make it all over again. They came to complain to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So Rabbi Moshe was going to say it's no good. So Rabbi Felder, there used to be a Rabbi Gedalia Felder, who used to be the rabbi in Toronto, a big Talmud Chacham. So he passed away a long time ago. So he had a son, Aaron Felder. Aaron Felder was my age. He died young. He was a rabbi in Philadelphia. He died young, a few years, 10 years ago. So he was the son of Rabbi Gedalia Feder. He learned for quite a few years by Moshe Feinstein. There used to be Felder and Bluth, Elimelech Bluth and Aaron Felder were there by Moshe Feinstein all day and all night. They used to stay by him, and they heard him Paskin Shailas for years. On Kol HaTarakula, they heard. So Aaron Felder was there when the representative came from the Koilel in Toronto, the Rav Moshe should pass the Erev. So Aaron Felder said to Rav Moshe, how can you pass the Erev? It was made by a Talmud of the Marshan. He followed his Rebbe. So Rav Moshe didn't say anything. But then later on, the Koilel passed the Erev anyway. So they made a new Erev. They did the whole Erev over again. They made it al-gabeim instead of being menatzan. So that's what That's what the Eze Mikodesh on the side of the page, and Ebenezer complains that the way they use the Pereches, they have the four metal rings in the corner, they have a pole, so that there's nothing that goes from on top of one pole to on top of the other pole. The cloth of the Pereches is next to the pole, but it's not on top of the pole. But that's why they changed it, and so when they had this display of Pereches in next door, now they have the YU Museum is downtown. It's in the same building with the Yivo Institute, the Yiddish Wissenschaft Institute. Well, it used to be next door over here. I never went when it was downtown, but they used to have it over here. We used to go visit. They used to explain what's going on. So they showed us all parochas from Europe that had slits, diagonal slits in the four corners, in order to put the pole under the slit. So you had the cloth going on top, from on top of one pole to the second, to the third, to the fourth, and back again to the first. The cloth was on top, but not, you didn't really need cloth in the middle, you just needed a string on top. That's the question. When you say that the chuppah constitutes the nisuin, what part of the chuppah? The cloth on top, like alfarasta kanafecha la masecha, has to be clothed, and if it's plastic or wood, it's not acceptable. It has to be kanafecha. Well, no. The main thing is the tzuras ha-pesach. You don't need anything in the middle. The main thing is that it should be a tzuras ha-pesach. So that's a question. You look in the Rambam, Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, Hilchas Tefillah, has Hilchas Beis HaKnesses and Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam talks about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And Beis HaMikdash has a din of Mikdashi Tiro. There's a din of Moira HaMikdash. The Gemara says in the beginning of the Yomis, Lo min HaMikdash at the Misyori. One of a person in Beis HaMikdash, he should be afraid the structure is going to collapse on him. No. They shouldn't allow people to go in if the structure may collapse. It should be extra degree of Yiras Hashem. Es Hashem l'kecha tira is a mitzvah all year long, wherever you are. And in the Mikdash, there's an added mitzvah, Mikdashi tiro, to emphasize Moira HaMikdash. So in Beis HaKnesses, we don't talk about Moira, we talk about Kvod Beis HaKnesses. Moira means covered square, an extra degree of covered. So the Beis HaKnesses is only a Mikdash Miyat, it's only a miniature Beis HaMikdash. That's why you don't have the higher degree of Moira, you just have the lower degree of Kvod Beis HaKnesses. So when the Rambam writes these dinim of... then the Gemara says, what are you not allowed to do in a Beis HaKnesses? So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to use a Beis HaKnesses as a kapandaria. Let's say, I want to get to the other side of the building. Instead of walking around the building on the outside, I want to use a shortcut. I'm going to walk through the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. So to use the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash as a kapandaria, as a shortcut, you're not allowed to do. Why not? That's a violation of covered Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara says in the end of Brachas, ki beso, just like your next-door neighbor's home. Your next-door neighbor, you can't ring on his bell and say, I'd like to use your apartment as a shortcut. That's not derech eretz. So whatever you wouldn't do for your next-door neighbor, you're not allowed to do in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. That's Rav Soloveitchik. That's what led Rav Soloveitchik to give that definition that we said before. The Beis HaKnesses is Beiseinu, and the Shechina comes to visit by us. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, and we're visiting by Him. We're visiting by Him, that requires a higher degree of kavod that we call Moira, Moira HaMikdash. But if it's Beis HaKnesses, it's Ki Beiso, like the next on him. You have to treat it with respect. So Rav Soloveitchik said, based on that, he said, if you come to someone's house and it's raining outside, and you're wearing boots, you don't walk into the house with the boots. You're going to make the rug, you're going to make the carpet dirty, or you're going to make the floor all wet. The Derech Eretz dictates you should take off your boots and leave it outside before you walk into the house. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to walk in with wet boots into the shul. You have to take your boots off before you walk into the shul. Whatever you wouldn't do, whatever you wouldn't do in someone in the neighbor's home, that thing on the end of brachas, ki beso, like someone's home. There was a court case in Boston. A blind man came to a shul, an Orthodox shul, before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to buy a ticket to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Then he came on Rosh Hashanah, he came with his seeing eye dog. So he said, sorry, we don't let you go in with the dog. So he said, but I bought a ticket. So he said, but you didn't buy a ticket for the dog. We don't allow dogs in the shul. So they started a fight. And of course, the blind man lost the fight. So they slugged him, and because he resisted, and he fell and he got hurt. So he was suing them in court. So the judge at Paskin that it depends according to Jewish law. It was an Orthodox shul. So they needed an expert opinion. So they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, is it against the Jewish law to take a seeing eye dog into the shul? Rabbi Soloveitchik said that you're not allowed to because they never took any chayas into the Beis HaMikdash. They brought in karbonis, the aim is for karbonis, but they never brought in chayas into the Beis HaMikdash. So he said it's against the din. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that it's mutter to bring a seeing eye dog into the shul. The Lubavitcher Rebbe also has. They took different letters that the Rebbe wrote on different issues. They put out like a collection of shadas and tshuvas, the letters from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he also writes, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva, it's permissible to take a seeing eye dog into the shul. Look at Rav Moshe's tshuva. The Lubavitcher Rebbe refers to Rav Soloveitchik taught you're not allowed to. So, and the judge goes up, if it's against Jewish law, then they had a right to prevent him, and since he was resisting, so they don't have to pay, even though they hurt him. Yeah, that was an issue. Is it against the din to take a seeing eye dog into the shul? So from the Rambam is Mashman Hilchas Tefillah, when he quotes all the dinim of Beis HaKnesses, that it only has a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses if it has a Sefer Torah. There are a lot of offices in Manhattan where they have religious people there, where they have one room that's designated for davening Mincha Maira, but it doesn't have a Sefer Torah. So if it's at some Gedalia, Sor Betavis or something, then they have to go to a real shul because they don't have a Sefer Torah to lay. So that's a shaila. If you have a room that's designated for davening, but you don't have a Sefer Torah, does that room have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? According to the Ramban, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a tashmishei mitzvah because it's a room that helps you daven better. It has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah. But the Rambam seems not to hold it like that. The Rambam sounds, he doesn't say explicitly, but he sounds very much that if you don't have an Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah, it doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. It doesn't necessarily have to be in that room. In the days of the Gemara, it would appear that the Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah was not in the same room where they daven. It was in the basement, or it was someone else, somewhere else. Where did the Rambam get that idea from? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, maybe he got it. There's a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshio HaMelech was going the Oroin into a chamber in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Why was he going the Oroin? So it's he was not that he was afraid the enemy was going to come and capture the Oroin. It gives a different reason in the pasuk. It doesn't say that reason. It gives a different reason. It's unclear. The pasuk is unclear. So the Netziv has a whole suggestion shot. The Netziv in the Hakdamah to the Shiltas, his commentary on the Shiltas, has a whole interpretation of the pasuk that Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Hayakayam, the Sanhedrin would meet in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? In order to have a Hashuras Hashchina, that they shouldn't make a mistake. That it should be easier for them to figure out the Psak Halacha, shouldn't make a mistake. But after the Churban HaBayis, so the Sanhedrin doesn't meet anymore. You don't no longer have Sanhedrin Samach LeMizbeach. The first Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim quotes from the Mechilta. The Parshas Yisro ends in Mizbach Adom Tasali. Mishpatim begins with the Bezdin. So that's how you know you have to have Sanhedrin Samach LeMizbeach. So the Ramban explains that they should have a Siyai Perishmaya, that they shouldn't make a mistake, because the Psokim, the Piske Halacha of the Sanhedrin, are binding on all of Klal Yisro. So we want they shouldn't make a mistake. So after the Churban HaBayis, it was a different style of psak that had to argue things out and come to a maskana by pilpula shel Torah. Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Hayakayam, they didn't need such pilpula shel Torah. They had a siyai terishmaya because they were close to the Oren, close to the Shechina. So the Netziv interpreted that's what it was. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshia Melech was going as the Oren with the Luchas, and he interprets in the Pasuk because he knew that the Bais Rishon is going to be Chorib soon, and the Rabbanim will have to develop a new style of Psak Halacha. So he wanted them to get used to it already now, while the Bais is still Bibinyona. So the Rambam writes that when Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Oren with the Luchas in the basement, that was all part of the original plan, the blueprint that Shlomo HaMelech got from David HaMelech, David got it from the Navi. Hakol b'ksav mi'ad Hashem alai haskel. It's also a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. Hakol b'ksav mi'ad Hashem alai haskel. Shlomo HaMelech had to build the Beis HaMikdash exactly according to the blueprints. So according to the blueprints, there was a chamber in the basement that was intended, miyuchad l'kach, when the time comes, they should move the Oren with the Luchas into the basement. Then the Gemara in Yuma says that towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, there was the Oren with the Luchas there. So the Kohen Gadol has to do Achaz L'mayla, L'sheva L'mato, L'mayla, by the in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Aron. But what do you do if there's no Aron? So you do the Hazaras as if there would have been an Aron. So the whole Bai Sheni, there was no Aron. So the Mishnah says, the whole Bai Sheni, there was no Aron. So the Gemara says, where was the Aron during the Bai Sheni period? So there's a historical machlok in Satanaim. So one opinion, Aron was in Bavel. Different opinion. One opinion is the Aron was in the basement where they put it in the end of the Bais Rishon. The Aron was there in the basement. So the Rambam writes like that. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes, the whole Bai Sheni period, the Aron was in the basement. So Rav Soloveitchik raised the question, why does the Rambam take a stand on a historical machlokes? In the Moreh Nevuchim, he can talk about history. Here in the Yad HaChazaka, he only writes halacha. What's the halacha over here? It's a historical machlokes. Rav Soloveitchik thought that in addition to being, perhaps the Rambam understood that in addition to being a historical machlokes, where was the Aron during the Bai Sheni period? Maybe it's halachic machlokes also. And the Rambam understood that he's taking a stand on halacha. The Rambam understood that the Shita who holds that the Aron was in the basement, the whole Bai Sheni, is because they hold you can't have a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash if you don't have the Aron HaBris. It's called Mishkan HaEdus. The Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEdus because they had the Luchas HaEdus, the Luchas HaBris there. But if in the Bai Sheni, there was no Luchas HaBris, so the Rambam understood that that's that opinion. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash if you don't have any luchas. The essence of the Beis HaMikdash is you have to have an Aron with the luchas. So the Rambam Paskin La'aloche, that sheet is based on that, because the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyad, not like the Ramban says, it's a Mokam HaMiyuchot to help you daven better. It's a Tashmishi Mitzvah. No, it's a Tashmishi Kedusha, like the Beis HaMikdash. So just like the Rambam thinks that the Beis HaMikdash can't have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash if you don't have an Aron Kodesh, so he thought, can't have a Kedusha as Beis HaKnesses unless you have an Aron Kodesh. The menorah doesn't necessarily have to be made from gold. The Gemara points out, if you make the menorah from gold, the gvim kaptarim b'frochem amiyakev. If you make it from other metals, you don't have to have gvim kaptarim b'frochem. This is relevant la'alocha because the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, l'osasun iti, the poshe b'shat l'osasun iti l'hei chesed v'hei zov l'osasun l'chem. You're not allowed to make avoid a zaris. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Not only does the pasuk mean you're not allowed to manufacture avoid a zaris, not by Mother Elyon and not by Mother Tachton and not in the base. I mean, Mother Elyon means you're not allowed to make images of angels. You're not allowed to make any images of angels. I remember when I was a little boy, my father was a rabbi in a shul. We lived in Philadelphia. So on top of the shul, I haven't been there in many years. I don't think the shul exists anymore. But I was probably a little boy. I had the imagination as if the ceiling was 10 floors high. It was probably not so high, but that's my imagination. And I remember there was a painting on the ceiling of the shul of the three malachim visiting Avraham Avinu. So that you're not supposed to have the paintings of angels. You're not allowed to have statues of angels. You're not allowed to have paintings of angels. That's l'sasen iti d'musha mashin hamsham shen l'fadah b'madar ha'elyon. Not allowed to make. Then Mother HaTachton means you're not allowed to make sun, the moon, the stars. You're not allowed to make a planetarium. You're not allowed to make pictures of the sun, the moon, the stars. They ask someone to make designs over here on the staircase that goes up from the lounge to the library. So some woman made, they didn't give her any guidelines, so she made stars. The design was full of stars. So they told her you're not allowed to have a design with stars. After working, so no one knew what she was doing. No one was watching her. No one was supervising. She didn't know. She never heard of it, that you're not allowed to make the sun, the moon, the stars. So she had to change the whole thing. So now they have no more stars. They just have balls, circles, whatever, funny designs. But it used to be stars that you're not allowed to make. So that's the mother hell, you know, it's the malach, mother, atachman, the sun, the moon, the stars, you're not allowed to have. And then there's a din, l'sasenita, you're not allowed to make a menorah, like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, a shulchan. You're not allowed to make a room the same size as the Kehechol HaKodesh HaKadosh. You're not allowed to make the same thing. Out of respect for the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in Din, you're not allowed to make, if you make a golden menorah with seven kanim, you're only in violation if you have kafterim gviim ufrochim. If you have from other metals, you're not allowed to make with seven kanim, even if it doesn't have kafterim gviim ufrochim, because if you make from other metals, the gviim kafterim ufrochim are not miyakim. Make from gold, it is miyakim. There's a big machlokes and a lot of shuls they have in front of the chazan, a menorah that has an electric menorah. It doesn't have candles, it doesn't have oil with wicks. It has an electric bulb. So if you have a menorah with seven bulbs on top, is that also a violation? And many held that that's also, you're not allowed to make a menorah, top this on menorah, even if it's seven electric bulbs. Others held that it is mutter. Others held take out the middle bulb, take out one bulb. Others held does nothing to take out a bulb. There's room to put a bulb there. That is a big machlokes. I think the British gave a matana to Medinas Yisrael, the big menorah that's in front of the where the Knesset used to meet. I think now the Knesset meets somewhere else. So they have a big menorah, but it's just a menorah with seven kanim. It's made from cement. There's no room to put any bulbs there. No room to put any lights there. So they assume that that's not an Issa, just the shape of a menorah. But no lights, that's probably not an Issa. Are you allowed to make a menorah from wood? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, when the Hashmonoim took over the Beis HaMikdash. So one version is, they made a menorah shel eitz. The other version is, it can't be. Eitz is posel. The Gemara says, it's a machlokes hatanoim. How do you darshan the psukim? What's the midah shatar nidreshes ben? Is it klal prat? The klal is that ribe miut ribui. It comes out slight differences. The Gemara said this is one of the cases where there's a difference. Where the menorah shel eitz is good, the menorah shel cheres is no good. That's cheap. That's not the kovadik. That's kli charis of cheres is not kosher. Kli charis shel mateches is good. Kli charis shel eitz is a machlekes hatanoim. The purpose of the parochas, says in the pasuk, "Vevdila parochas lachem bein hakodesh ben kodesh hakodoshim." So the Abu Dram is a sefer on the siddur where he shows what the mocker for every expression in the siddur is in Tanakh. He works on the assumption that the davening was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and the Masadri HaTfilah has to be in a biblical Hebrew. So where does it say this concept of lahavdil ben kodesh lekodesh? We say when Yontav is Choli is ben Matzoi Shabbos, so we say Havdalah. We say Hamav de Ben Kodesh Le Kodesh. So he says that Abu Dram says based on the pasuk in today's sedra, if Dila Parechas Lachem Ben Hakodesh Ben Kodesh Hakodoshim. A lot of people don't make a distinction. They think all the rabbis are the same. All the rabbis are not the same. Some rabbis don't know how to learn much better than other rabbis. So it's. They say the Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna gave Haskama to the Darki Tshuva when the Minkacha, the father of the Minkacha, then the Mincha Zolozeh completed it. So originally he thought it was going to be it's a valuable sefer, the Darki Tshuva is a likut of all Achronim on Yeridei. But then when it came out, they say that he was upset. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna was upset because he quotes everybody with equal footing. They're not equal. There are some poskim entitled to 20 votes, others entitled to a half a vote. They're not all entitled to the same vote. And he quotes everybody as if everybody's on the same level. You have to, it's not all the mitzvahs are on the same level. You have to be mavda ben kodesh l'kodesh. You have to have priorities. We don't just divide between mitzvahs and non-mitzvahs. Within the mitzvahs, there are different, there's a priority. Some mitzvahs are more important than other mitzvahs. At the end of the parsha, the Chumash tells about the measurements of the chotzer. The chotzer was 100 amas by 50 amas, and then it says v'rochav chamishim chamishim. It was 50 by 50. It wasn't 50 by 50. It was 100 by 50. In front of the mizbeach was 50 by 50 clear. And then there was mizbeach, and then there was the heichal. What does it say v'rochav chamishim chamishim? So the Gemara has a drasha, which anybody would think is an asmachtam in the Rabbanan, that if you take 100 by 50, how many square amas do you have? 5,000. 50 by 100 is 5,000 square amas. And if you take the square root of that, how much is that going to be? 70 would change. 70 would change. So the Gemara takes the pasuk. The chotzer was 100 by 50, and you make it into a square. V'rochav 50 50. It's not 50, it's 100 by 50. Take the square. So each bar of that square will be Shiva Mama Vishirayim. 70 amas would change. And that's a shir deraisa that's nageh to certain dinim and tchum Shabbos. That's a yalfusa from a pa. I would have sworn that that's an asmachta. And others say, no, it's a real din deraisa. That's a yalfusa for the pasuk. The shir Shiva Mama Vishirayim. If the houses are more than Shiva Mama Vishirayim away from each other, that's not an extension of the city. It's nageh la'alochem. Earlier in the year, we learned the first parak in Bava Basra, so we saw there that Rashi pointed out there was a difference between the Mizbeach HaPanim and the Mizbeach HaChitz. And the Mizbeach HaPanimi, the Mizbeach HaZohav, was for Ketores, so that was a kli. The Mizbeach HaChitz was the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that was Binyan. It was filled in with Ofer. And there was a Machlekes HaMeir Reb Yudah, where the Amos, when the Torah tells you how many Amos each one of the Kelim has to be, how big the Chotzer has to be, all the Amos, Amah Vashisha Tvachim, or maybe that's only Amah Shal Binyan is Shisha Tvachim, Amah Shal Kelim is Chamisha Tvachim. So if you distinguish between Amah, according to one Tani, it seems Amah Shal Kelim, Amah Shal Binyan, so there was a difference between the Mizbech HaPnim and the Mizbech HaChitz. The Mizbech HaPnimi, the Mizbech HaKtores, Mizbech HaZov, was a Kli. And the Mizbech HaChitz was a Binyan, it was Memula, Be'ofer, was attached to the ground. There were other nafkaminas also, not just for the Amos. Other nafkaminas in other areas of Allah. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.